Well, hello once again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Dozier, and thanks so much for joining us this week. On today's program, we'll hear from Rush County farmer and president of the Indiana Farmers Union Hemp Chapter, Marty Mahan. He'll talk about the weather. He finally got his hemp plants in the ground, and we'll get an update and progress report from Marty on what's going on with that. We'll also hear from Midwest Hemp Council Treasurer Jamie Campbell Petty. He'll talk about the upcoming Purdue University Hemp and Agriculture Field Days here this July and August. So let's get things started with Marty Mahan. Marty, once again, thanks for joining us this week.
Thanks for having me, Jason.
Oh, absolutely. And we'll make this quick, let you get back out into the fields while we still have some nice weather out there, although a little warm for some folks. We went through a few weeks of nothing but rain with, it seemed like, thunderstorms rolling through daily here in the Hoosier State. Then the spigot was shut off and the extreme heat hit us. Most of the state in the upper 80s, low 90s. How has this affected the planting and progress of your hemp field?
Well, much like everyone else in the state and every other aspect of agriculture, this weather pushed back our planting as well. I was about 4 or 3 weeks behind on getting my fiber seeds put into the ground, and I was about 6 weeks behind on getting my CBD plants put into the ground.
And you're just using just going with CBD and fiber, not with seed plants.
That's correct.
And before we get any further here, and we'll get back to the weather, but since we hit that topic there, go ahead and give us a quick rundown, the difference between, and is there any planting difference, any difference for you between the CBD, fiber, and seed plants?
Well, for me, there was a huge difference in between the CBD and the fiber. For most folks that are doing fiber or seed, there's not a drastic difference in the planting aspect of that, typically done with a drill. But in the CBD world, it is much different than fiber and CBD, or I'm sorry, fiber and seed. The CBD stuff is grown and planted about like tobacco or maybe a vegetable crop, all hand planted or maybe done with a setter type of machine or a water wheel, something along those lines. But for all intents and purposes, it's hand planted.
And why does it need to be hand planted versus the seed?
Sure. It is hand planted because the vast majority of CBD is planted with starts or plugs, which that would be a plant that has been started in a greenhouse and ready to be put into the ground rather than just a viable seed placed into the ground.
Okay. And we talked with Don Robinson last week on the program, and he was talking about spray drift or pesticide drift, where some of the other farmers are, their pesticides drifting over onto crops. You've only had your plants in the field for a few days, maybe less than a week, but do you have neighbors around you that could be a problem?
Well, the location that I've chosen for my hemp plots this year, I don't have too much of an issue with that. It is surrounded by my fields entirely, and I'm about a quarter of a mile before I get to the closest field that is not my property. So it's not a large concern for me this year.
Okay. Now, Marty, how long have you had your plants in the ground?
Well, I put my fiber in the ground on June 8th. That was actually my replanting or second plant. And then my CBD plants, I have been planting over the last 2 weekends, and I finally got that accomplished this past Sunday.
Okay, so you've had it in there for a couple of weeks now. How much work are you having to put in to these to the hemp field in order to keep it growing and keep things happening there? Are you having to go through and hand weed the crop, or how are you handling that?
I haven't had to weed yet. I will, and my intention is to battle that with just tillage. I did use black plastic in my rows for the CBD plants this year. Mm-hmm. And so everything in between the rows, I'll fight those with just by using the tiller. As far as what I've had to do thus far to keep those going, I have been lucky, and I've had rain periodically here ever since I got them in the ground. As a matter of fact, last night I got an inch. So I've only had to irrigate them one time since I put them in the ground. So fertilization program will start this weekend, though, and that'll pretty much be the crux of the maintenance to them.
And how long will it take for these plants to hit maturity? And will the CBD plants versus the fiber plants, will one of those hit maturity before the other?
Yes, the fiber that'll be taken probably in late August. The fiber crop is not grown to maturity. You do not need any of that reproductive part or the floral part of the plant. And they say to harvest that when you get about 20% of reproductive flower on your entire field. Mine is relatively close to my CBD field, so I will be harvesting my fiber just as soon as it starts to show flower material, period, just to ensure that I don't get any pollination from it.
All right. Once again, we're speaking with Marty Mahan, with the Indiana Farmers Union Hemp Chapter. And Marty, now with hemp plants, you can't just, I guess, go down the row and drop a seed, cover it, water it, and let it grow. You had to start these in cups and then transplant them into the field. Is that correct?
Well, I had to with my CBD plants this year, but that is not a typical practice. That was caused by the delay that the weather caused.
Okay.
The fact that delayed us from getting into the field, those plugs and starts that I purchased those plants in, they needed to be put into something larger than the trays that they were in. Mm-hmm. Since we couldn't get them into the ground right away. So therefore, myself and several other people in the same situation as me, we had to do a temporary transplanting of those into a solo cup or a larger, larger type of container.
Yeah, good old solo cup comes in handy for so many things, don't they?
That's right.
All right, Marty. So now what other dangers do both the CBD and fiber plants face here until you can get those harvested?
Well, excessive moisture seems to be the real battle that we're all facing this time of year. The moisture that you alluded to earlier and how much we had, it really stunted the growth of the fiber plants as well. I mentioned earlier that I did a replant on the 8th of June, and that was because of the weather and how that affected it. So many of us that had a late planting and then were not able to get our fiber into the ground, we struggled through a two-week period there of extremely wet and extremely, it wasn't extreme, but below normal temperatures. And what that caused was it did not allow that fiber to emerge and establish a canopy as quickly as it would hope. And so, therefore, a lot of us are battling some weed and grass issues in our fiber crops.
All right. Once again, speaking with Marty Mahan with the Indiana Farmers Union Hemp Chapter, also, as you can tell, a hemp farmer out there making it happen, doing it. Marty, we just I spoke of Don Robinson, had him on last week, the seed administrator with the Office of Indiana State Chemist and Seed Commissioner here in Indiana. I wish I had a long title like that. That just sounds so much more, like his paycheck should be a lot larger than mine, But at any rate, we just posted a letter from Don on the MidwestHempCouncil.com website. Seems like there have been a couple folks that have had a problem, and I don't know if this is something you can talk about, if it's something that's popped up on your radar or not, but some folks having problems with their latitude and longitude coordinates. These, it's very important, these have to be updated with the Office of Seed Administrator, or as the case with one gentleman, and I'll just read this off the website here, if your coordinates are off, the crop is marijuana, and the Indiana State Police have every right and full authority to treat it as such. And there was a case with one grower that was 15 miles off of his coordinates of longitude and latitude. So obviously it's very important. Now, again, working with the Indiana Farmers Union Hemp Chapter, have you heard of anybody else having this sort of problem? And obviously it's a very serious problem if the Indiana State Police are going to get involved and call it a marijuana plant simply because it's not in the right location.
I have not had anyone else that have had that problem that I'm aware of. I can understand for some folks how it can be a bit of a challenge to locate those GPS coordinates. It's not exactly the easiest thing to do, and they wanted those coordinates in a specific format. So I can see how there might be some confusion with some folks, and I don't imagine that this individual did it intentionally. It was probably just an oversight, or they may not have even updated their permit. Don and the Seed Commissioner's Office, they've been very good about allowing folks to make amendments to their permit, such as if they need to relocate their field. And I would like to hope that that individual just didn't stay on top of keeping their information up to date.
And it's probably not as simple as just simply opening up Google Maps and placing your cursor there and getting that longitude latitude. I'm sure there's a lot more involved in that.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. And I found it, it was good to know, or at least I thought, that the Seed Commissioner is staying on top of this, though, and that they're making people aware and that they're following up with the bad players. If indeed people are not following by the rules, it's good to know that they're pushing that issue and making sure that everyone does follow the rules.
Yeah, and I would go along with your philosophy that it was probably an honest mistake, certainly not something that somebody would have intentionally have done. That everybody's trying to go by the rules, but there are a lot of rules out there, and it's a new industry, and that's why education, of course, is very important, and that's why the Midwest Hemp Council is here. That's why the Indiana Farmers Union Hemp Chapter is there, and you head that up. Your membership has been going up throughout the year.
It has. Since our first symposium that we had back in the early spring and our continuing education sessions that we've had around the state, we have tripled our membership, and a lot of folks have come online and have reached out to us to gather as much information as they can in preparation for the 2020 season.
And you guys just had your annual meeting on Tuesday of this week. That had to be interesting. What came out of that meeting? What sort of, what did you take out of that meeting? And more importantly, what did you take into that meeting for the educational purposes?
It was very interesting to have such an increase in our membership. And the number one thing that we learned from our new members is making sure that we are getting this information out there in a timely manner and able to provide that not only to our members, but to the public in general. So that was the number one takeaway that I left the meeting from. The number one thing that I went in with and that we spent most of the evening discussing was the planning for our educational series that we'll have this year and how we're going to help Hoosier farmers prepare for the 2020 planting season. So we've got several things on the horizon. We're looking to have our second annual symposium probably in the November to December timeframe, with the intention of providing folks with information before the permitting application opens up, and hopefully we'll be able to have them prepared to participate in that application process.
And between now and then, there's certainly some more educational opportunities with the, at this point, there are at least five of the Indiana Hemp Field Day events coming up. The first of which, if I have my calendar correct here, would be July 19th up in West Lafayette. I assume you'll be attending these field days?
Yes, I will myself, and we'll have other representatives from the Indiana Farmers Union there as well to help assist and educate attendees and to work alongside with Purdue. We've been really privileged to have Marguerite Bolt, the hemp specialist, attend several of our outings and field visits that we've had thus far, and we look forward to working with her in the future on education.
And again, people can go to the Midwest Hemp Council website and look for the field day tab, and you can click that and get the lineup there. And I'm told we're going to have at least a few more of these that will pop up, and these are occurring all over the state. So no excuse for the not to be able to get to Indianapolis or to Lafayette. There will be some up north as well as in the southern part of the state. So we encourage people to check those out. Marty, let me ask you something here on a personal level. With everything you've got going on with hemp, as well as your regular farming duties there, how do you have time to put all the effort that you do into the Indiana Farmers Union hemp chapter, as well as, and then go to attend all these educational functions, the gatherings? How many hours in the day do you get to sleep?
Well, I tell you, that's what friends and family are for, it seems. If it wasn't for those good folks that come and bail me out and take care of some of the chores and things that need to be done around the farm, family and friends, we couldn't do it without them.
Well, there you go. Once again, Marty Mahan from the Indiana Farmers Union Hemp Chapter, and as well as a longtime generation farmer in Rush County. Marty, anything else that we can add to the conversation that I didn't hit on?
Well, I don't think so. I think, for everybody just to stay plugged in to the Indiana Farmers Union and the Midwest Hemp Council's websites and social media sites for information, soak up what you can, and come visit us at these field days. We'll get you ready for 2020.
Excellent. Once again, Marty, we appreciate it, and we hope to hear from you again soon.
Thank you, Jason.
All righty, sir. Next up on the program, the treasurer of the Midwest Hemp Council, Jamie Campbell Petty. Jamie, how you doing this week?
Hello, Jason. Doing well. How are you?
Fantastic. Good to have you back with us here. Everything rolling along. Finally got rid of some of the rain out there, and now we're into the scorching heat. So it's kind of a, one or the other. But at any rate, it stopped raining, so that's got to be a good sign.
It is, and we're seeing a lot of the hemp kicking in and grounding itself, so we're excited about that.
Yeah, looking forward to getting out and seeing some of that as it starts popping up there in the next few weeks. Now, the reason we've got you on the program here is to talk about the upcoming Indiana Hemp Field Days going on, and these are opportunities for listeners to learn a little bit about and maybe get introduced to the world of hemp. So, Jamie, tell the listeners about these Indiana Hemp Field Days coming up, starting with July 19th.
Right. Okay, so the 19th will be the annual Purdue Hemp Field Day, and that will be two sessions, a morning session and an afternoon session. Midwest Hemp Council and Indiana Farmers Union Hemp Chapter will be there to support that event, and you can find that link on our website at MidwestHempCouncil.com or on our Facebook page, but you will want to register. There's a link there that walks you through the registration. Be sure and do that.
And it says on the advertisement there are two sessions, an AM session and a PM session. Are you required to be at, is this a situation where you're at both of those, or is that the same information? You can either go in the morning or afternoon.
Yes, same information, just two different sessions.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, that makes it convenient. First one starts at 8:15, second one starts at 1 p.m. So I guess whether you're a morning person or afternoon person, that works well.
Exactly. So that'll be a good opportunity to view the Purdue research and meet with different researchers on their specific areas of expertise, and then also meet with our team. Our team will be out there. And along with the events, when you go to our website, you'll see that we have allowed the Indiana Hemp Victory Tour to go public. We are offering a limited number of spaces for our July 16th event at the Indiana Historical Society. I encourage everyone to check that out. It's going to be a wonderful evening celebrating and recognizing the progress that we have made in hemp and talking about where we are headed as well. So that, again, is on the Midwest Hemp Council website, and you would need to register very soon because spaces, we're filling up quickly, and we only have a limited number of public spaces available.
Yeah, a lot going on there that week with that going on the 16th, and then on Friday the 19th, that Hemp Field Day. So certainly people cannot say there are not opportunities or they don't know where to get involved.
And the other announcement, Jason, I just would like to make, and that is also front and center on our website, is that the Office of the Indiana State Chemist and the Seed Commissioner, the Seed Administrator, have announced that the first meeting of the Indiana Hemp Advisory Committee will be on August 1st at the Hendricks County Fairgrounds, and that's at 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. And again, that's on our website, front and center, but that will be when the first gathering of the Hemp Advisory Committee, which was designed pursuant to Senate Bill 516, that will be the first meeting, and it is a public meeting. So if you are interested in how things are going to unfold, and as we prepare for 2020, we encourage you to attend.
Do you expect a lot of people to attend this meeting?
Yes, we do, and we hope that this meeting will include our farmers who are involved and our businesses who are involved, so that those who have already become educated and participated will be able to contribute from experience to the discussion. We want to make sure everyone is fully represented and consideration is made.
Okay, again, some great opportunities there in July, kind of a bang, bang, bang thing there the last couple weeks, happening in Danville and in Lafayette, kind of central Indiana. But there are some things coming up later on in the year, I know as early as August, for some of the folks down in southern Indiana as well.
Yes, I believe it's August 29th, and that'll be down in Ripley County. That information is on our website. That's the Farm of Jen Benheim, and it'll be a fiber focused on a fiber grow. And backing up, we've got July 31st in the northern part of the state with Noble Organics. And then August 7th is going to be in Hartford City, and that's going to be a day with Heartland Harvest. And Jason, we also have September 9th with Dream Nutrition in Rusheville, and September 13th will be with Third Wave Farms in Logansport. All of these save the dates or registration information you'll find on the website. So we just encourage everyone to keep looking. We anticipate at least 4 or 5 more field days between now and the early October. And we also are working on some educational networking opportunities for later in the fall. So it's just important to stay tuned to our website, check in on the podcast, and we will do our best to keep you current on all events.
And again, so right now we've got 5 field days listed there on the website that people can go and click, and the links will take them where they need to take them. And again, you said we've got another 4 or 5 coming up. Sounds like they're all spread out nicely through the state. So again, no excuse for people not having the opportunity to get to some of these events and participate, learn, and just get involved.
Exactly. So thanks a lot, Jason. Appreciate your time and helping us get the word out.
Oh, absolutely. That's what we're here for. And again, Jamie, you're always welcome to come on the podcast and a big organizer of what's going on out there in the world of hemp, and certainly right here with the Midwest Hemp Council. So thanks again, and we will be talking to you soon.
All right. Thanks so much, Jason.
All right, Jamie, thanks so much. And that is going to do it for our show this week. We certainly hope you've been both entertained and informed. And if you'd like more information, simply go to our website, MidwestHempCouncil.com, to find out how you can get involved in the many facets of hemp in Indiana, as well as the entire Midwest. That's going to do it for us. I'm your host, Jason Dozier. We'll see you next week, everybody.